Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
Super good. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty great. Easton?
I'm excellent. I'm wonderful.
Everyone's great. Mark stepped out for a moment, but I'm sure he's also doing well.
He seems to be doing just fine, although he did eat some cheese in my pizza that I brought today, so he's feeling a little wonky.
So Tanya brought, I guess for a Ryan show, y'all brought
We did like a show giving. So it was like everybody brought something that was like traditional to their Thanksgiving table. So like it was, mine was like a piece of Serbian food that was traditional to like my family.
And it's called pita.
Pita, yeah.
Pita.
Yeah, it's also called gibanica.
Okay, that's easy. I thought she was asking if I wanted a piece of pizza with a list. I thought you had your like Invisalign back in or something.
No, never.
Because I've never heard of that. I'm very simple when it comes to food. Like, I don't really try a lot of different kinds of food.
You've tried my pizza before. It's the cheese stuff. It's like cheese with phyllo dough.
Oh, I have?
Yeah, and you liked it.
Oh.
Phyllo dough?
Yeah.
What's everyone knows what phyllo dough is.
What's phyllo dough?
It's like, it's like the stuff that you make like baklava kind of stuff.
Almost like pita?
Almost like, no. Almost like a pigs in a blanket type
thing. Oh, like a crescent roll.
God, not quite.
Okay, well.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so I turned around and Tanya had her large knife that she carries around the studio with her.
Cut it, my has apple a cover with it on every it. Day.
Yeah, she brings it to cut her apple, but today she cut her pita.
We've talked about this before, but that knife is sincerely frightening. Like, I know. It's the Michael Myers like, knife.
I'm just like the most complicated human on the planet. Like, I bring a peeler for my apple too, because I'm trying not to eat the skins of my apples because they're bad to digest, and I'm trying to keep everything moving a little bit nicer these days. So I now peel my apples and I cut them up. Like, but the most simple food that you could literally eat with your hand. I have to have like two instruments.
But they have those little things that you can just slice the apple with. It's just, it's like, and then you push it down and it.
I know. I should get one of those.
That seems less daunting than the large butcher knife.
I know. I should get one of those actually.
So you have a peeler that you carry with you now?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet?
I was cooking last night and the recipe I used called for a zester. And I was like, I don't have a zester. So I searched the internet and they said, use your peeler. I don't have that either.
Yeah.
Like, how do I just do this with a knife? So I'm just like whittling away at this lemon trying
just
to zest it.
Just gotta get me around here. Oh, here you go.
That was, in case you were wondering what that noise was. She hit the peeler again.
She's got the peeler. It's got a black utilitarian handle. It looks very official.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Great British Bake Off and they all have their like zester or whatever. So I'm very familiar. I don't have them, but I'm familiar with them. I cooked the other night. I did a not sponsored HelloFresh meal.
Wait, so did I. Which meal did you cook?
I did the sesame beef tacos.
I have the same box. I haven't done the tacos yet, but I did the chicken parmesan.
Oh, how was it?
It was delicious. It was great.
I was thinking about making the pork chops, but
those are good too.
I know, but I'm nervous because I've never made pork chops. So
I know,
like
meat seems a little scary.
Like, I know how to cook chicken. I can cook ground beef.
Because does pork come on a bone? Is like a big bone in it?
I think they have boneless.
Can, but the one that HelloFresh provided.
Was boneless?
Boneless.
Make it easy for
that
us amateurs.
Yeah.
Those pre-portioned ingredients,
Speaking of Thanksgiving, what are you doing? We recorded this right before Thanksgiving, so we all probably had the best Thanksgiving ever, but this is before Thanksgiving.
I'm just going home and going to Orange County, so just... But the traffic's going to be so gnarly, so I don't know how long it's going to take me, but...
Are you going, on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to go Thursday morning. Because, like, traffic, 3 million people are going to be traveling in and out of LAX on Wednesday. The traffic's supposed to be three times, like, as bad as it usually is. So I'm, like, not getting nearer the freeways on Wednesday. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, you have me stressed because I leave to go to Florida on Wednesday tomorrow.
Get to the airport.
But my flight's at 7 a.m.,
oh, okay. Leave your house at 2 a.m.
No, I think you'll be okay.
Are you kidding me?
I think what time are you planning on leaving? 5?
2 a.m., yeah.
Make it 4:30, you'll be good.
2 a.m.?
That's when the traffic's going to be best.
Is the most extreme suggestion, and that's saying a lot coming from you, but that's one of the more extreme suggestions you've given me. But anyways, I'm excited. My parents are in Florida, and my sisters
are staying
there
right now.
It's like 60s, 70s, kind of how it's been here.
Okay.
but it's just going to be the three of us, which is going to be fun.
You and your parents?
Yeah. And I'm taking Phoebe.
Wait, that's so nice.
Yeah. It'll be fun. But I'm just going for a few days. And then I leave for Japan on Monday.
So when do you get back?
Saturday.
And you leave Sunday.
And then I have to pack Sunday and stuff. And then I leave.
Are you saying that to prepare me so I don't try to like see you?
No. I didn't know you were going to try to see me.
Wait, so you, and then you're in Japan for how many days?
A week.
Oh,
that's a lot. Tanya and I haven't seen each other because we were supposed to hang out last Wednesday. We were going to celebrate my birthday dinner together and then go to church. But Tanya came down with the plague. And I used to be like the type of person who, if someone said they were sick, I'd be like, it's fine. Like, let's just hang out. If you're up for it, like I'm up for it. But now I'm like, I don't want to get sick.
I know. And like, I try to be that person. I'm very much that person when I am sick. I like, because I am such a huggy person, I don't hug people and I kind of give them the elbow thing. And then I feel like I'm drawing more attention to the fact that I'm sick because it's like, I'm not wanting to touch anybody, but I feel like it's respectful.
No, it is. But I think the best thing to do if you're able to not, like, aside from work and stuff, is just stay home.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere where you don't need to be.
I know. It's a lot easier said than done.
For you.
Yeah.
It's very easy for me.
The tough thing is when your kids are sick, because staying away from them is not really an option because you have to tend to them. Like, my oldest is really sick right now.
Oh, no.
We took her in yesterday because her fever spiked to, like, 104.
Oh, that's serious.
And then this morning at 3, she had a bloody nose for an hour. Like, she just got so much sadness going on.
What is it?
They said it's not the flu. It's not pneumonia. It's just a really bad cold. And you just got to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so we were up with her most of the night. And so that was, but that's what you do. You can't just say, sorry, you're on your own. So I don't know if I'm going to get sick. Hopefully I won't, but I'm trying to be careful.
Mm. You should be taking oil of oregano.
I will not be hugging you goodbye today.
Oh, wow. Man.
Not going to see you for
almost a week.
You already
got it. You're probably immune right now.
But there's so many different strands. Like,
you might have given to me. I might have been a carrier to give it to my daughter.
Oh, this may be your fault, Tanya.
Well, I ultimately blame Danielle because that's where I got it from.
Well, then Danielle, we got to hear where she got it from. I know. They're working on my house right now.
I wanted to ask you about that. Keep going.
They're taking out all the hard floors yesterday and today. And they pretty much blocked off the stairs going upstairs. They blocked off the kitchen, anywhere where they're not working so that the fumes and like all the dust and stuff doesn't settle in there, which is really nice. But I feel like my allergy, like I'm like all...
I think there's my allergies are gnarly right now. I think there's a lot of dust in the air because like the winds were really crazy last night.
Oh,
so
yeah, they were crazy.
Yeah.
It's probably the dust in the air is probably coming from my house.
Literally. It's insane. But I wanted to talk to you about your flood.
Okay. What?
Because I feel as though there's a lot of symbolism in like water.
Okay.
And like flooding.
Okay.
So I want to talk to you about like your emotional state. No, what?
Here we go.
What do you mean, here we go?
It's just like, here we go.
No, because before you had the flood, you were feeling a little like, just a little meh.
Yeah.
Okay. Since the flood, has that changed? Like now, do you feel different now? Do you feel in a different headspace?
Yeah, I guess I would say so. But I guess that all was kind of around the same time because I went to Mexico and I had like a major reset. And while I was in Mexico is when the flood happened.
I'm telling you, there's something about water and like flooding. It's like just almost like it's a rebirth.
Plumbing water?
Yeah, it's almost like a rebirth. Like I know it sucks and I would obviously hate that your house got flooded. But it's almost like it was like pushing negative or whatever out of your life. And starting anew.
I like the symbolism. I like more when it's coming from the sky and it's like a cleanse of the rain. But something about the toilet water flooding seems a little less inspirational.
I know. It's not ideal. But you know what? Sometimes we can't like pick.
Choose where the water's
coming. Yeah, we can't choose where the water's coming from.
That's good stuff. Thanks, Tanya. I'm going to go into. I honestly have been very okay with how everything. You know, I've just kind of been like, I don't have control over it. They're fixing it. I have insurance. I'm so lucky to have a house. Like I've kind of been in that mindset. So the only thing that's been difficult for me is that I've had to wake up early to get there for the people to start like working on it early in the morning.
Yeah. So how early is that?
Like 8:30. Okay, but I'm staying up till like 9.
I know.
Well, don't do that.
What?
What if you didn't stay up until like 1?
I'd probably feel better in the morning.
You can go bed at 11.
But it's like, it's all relative, because it's like, even if I go to sleep at 1 o'clock, I'm still up at 6 a.m. So like for me, it's really even hard to stay out late at night because my body clock just wakes me up early in the morning. It sucks.
I don't have that issue. I sleep way in on the weekends.
I can't.
That's amazing.
It's great. I love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Are your kids at the age where they sleep in, or do they wake up?
They're getting
early?
There. The teenager's getting there. She sleeps as long as we'll let her. The youngest one's up at 7:30 because, you know, that's kind of funny because she gets on her iPad and plays Roblox or Minecraft or something like that. During the week, she gets up at 7:30 and it's like, you know, waking the dead. Like you have to get in there, you have to push. But on the weekend, 7:30, up, here we go. Where's my iPad?
Right,
here we go.
Like, yep. What's she wants to do?
Does she only get iPad on weekends?
No, but that's kind of like extreme iPad time.
Right.
Like she'll get it here and there, but that's her time.
Because dad's sleeping. You get the iPad.
Okay, I wanted to tell you guys about something.
Okay.
So I went to Sierra, who works on the morning show with us. I went to her, what was that? Like a wedding party. It was like a wedding party. And so I met her.
A shower?
It wasn't a shower because they already got married. It was like a celebration. Okay. They got married abroad. And so this was like for people, just like a kind of a finale of sorts, I guess. So it was at her in-law's house. So I went and I met her brother-in-law. So her husband's brother, mm-hmm. who's cute, mm-hmm. lives in San Francisco. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing a live show in San Francisco in about 1 month's time, give or take.
Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com.
Exactly. Thank you, Mark. So I literally had him pull out his phone, save the date, gave him the date and the place. And I was like, you're invited. Come on in. I think he's single. He might be younger. I don't know age details, but I figure he's cute. And then why not bring him into like a room full of scrubbers?
Oh, this isn't for you.
No, I mean, it's not for anybody. He's up for the, I don't even know if he's, I'm like, he's up for grabs.
He's like engaged right now.
But really, once he sees you at the height of your powers, when he sees you in this arena with you on stage, hundreds of people screaming for you, he's going to be in love with you.
What do you think we're doing? Like, we're not like Ed Sheeran. Like, we're not performing.
Why are we comparing ourselves to Ed Sheeran?
Because why not?
Scrubbers are going to be very excited to see you too. I promise you.
Well, here's the thing. I met him like towards the end of the night, so I didn't really get enough time to really talk to him at all. Enough to really get a gauge of anything, you know? But I made sure to have him put it in his calendar. And I'm going to send the invite through Sierra because I didn't get his number.
If you're interested, I think that's going to be an option after that show, if you want it.
I can't. I feel like she's not doing it for herself, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how old he is. So I want to.
But does that matter? You've dated older. You've dated younger.
Yeah, and I dated younger. And look where that ended me.
Look where both ended you.
That's true.
There is something to status in a relationship. And when you are put on a pedestal, how they see you. For example, I've maintained all along, I could never have gotten a woman the status of my wife had she not seen me on stage, heard me on the radio. Like, there's a certain status that gives you.
I have this conversation often.
It makes you hotter than
really?
You are. It makes you more appealing than you are, more attractive.
Well, because my Allie is like in love with Post Malone. And I'm like, if you saw Post Malone walking
example.
Down the street, what would you do?
Such a good example.
She's like, but there's something, it's the whole package.
Right, but there's not a package. If he's not Post Malone,
that's what I'm saying.
He's just weird
but
guy
that was it.
With
was
tattoos
like
on his face.
That argument of like he's so hot, and I'm like, but just because he's famous, and she's like, but that's part of who he is. Like he's a performer, and that's attractive. He can sing, and that's part of who he is. It's his gift, his talent, which I get.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It makes people more attractive when they're successful in what they
and
choose to do.
And you see them in their element.
And people are fans of theirs. And people like, you know, I think there's something to that, absolutely. Oh, Tiny seems skeptical.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's the same for guys.
Like, it is the same for guys.
I think it is.
Yeah, you're thinking of, because I think in your situation, when you're talking about dating and stuff, it's on the radio and it's like a very personal part of your life. And that might be intimidating to a guy because he might not want all of his business out there.
Right, sure.
But I think you on a stage or you doing, you're hosting the Grammys, I think anyone's attracted to that.
But that's interesting though. Tanya makes a good point. Guys are more superficial than women are. Women can look past. Women will incorporate all that stuff. Oh, he's a great musician.
Right.
He's got this aura to him. Where men are more like hot or not.
True. That's true.
But I feel like...
But Tony is hot.
That's the thing.
Thank you.
When you add that to the status thing, I think it's going to be a
home
run.
I agree.
If you're interested.
Wow. Well.
Well, I don't know. We haven't talked about this, but she did, when you met Tyler Cameron, y'all had, he was very flirty, no?
He was flirty, but I kind of think that's his thing now.
Oh, being flirty?
Yeah. Because I've heard from other like hosts and stuff where he's come in to do interviews that he's like very flirty with a lot of them.
Oh, anyways.
If that guy, Sierra's brother-in-law, asked you on a date after the show, would you say yes?
Ooh, good question.
That is a good question. I guess, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
We
love their family. I literally love the family.
That's a great thing right there.
Yeah,
that's
really...
something else women... incorporate where men
so
would never.
So true, because I really bonded with his mom, I guess. His
men
mom
would
is
never say she's got a great family.
Yeah, and you're going to bond with anyone's mom.
I really when I left, I was like, Sierra, you married into such like a sweet family. And I've met a ton of Sierra's family prior, and she said love her family too. And it was just like kind of cool to see all of, you know what I mean, like both families at the same party, just like having fun. It was actually really cute.
We learned on the Sequest show the other day that Tanya is having sleepovers.
I didn't know. I didn't say sleepover. I said one time I woke up one morning and my stomach made a noise and I was so uncomfortable because I didn't know if he was awake or asleep.
And that stopped everything on the morning show when she said that. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who is he that is sleeping over in your bed?
You know what's tough is I have to act like, oh, I didn't know any of this. Like, of course I know that. I'm like, what?
But we're not saying anything about him.
We're not saying anything.
You better not follow him on Instagram.
I'm keeping it a little sonsy for the moment, just because I'm dating around,
yes,
and so I don't want to specify anybody out because I just don't know right now.
You are like the Easter Bunny. You are bouncing around, dropping eggs,
yes,
in different baskets.
Yes, but I do want to say, and I wish I would have said it on the morning show, I'm not sleeping. I wasn't sleeping with him.
You
he just spent the night.
Him.
No, you're sleeping with him. You're not. Sleeping with
shacking. Is that what the
shagging?
I don't know. Shagging. Yeah.
You're shagging. Not shagging.
Correct.
You are sleeping.
Sleeping, yes.
Is there cuddling?
Yeah.
Kissing?
Well, yeah. But okay, no shagging.
Well, just letting the people know.
Just shagging.
Heavy petting.
Just, you know, just keeping it sonsy.
Rubbing?
Just keeping it sonsy.
Clothes?
Can
on?
We get a base or no?
No.
Are the clothes on?
Yeah.
Okay.
All clothes on? All the time?
Well, yeah. I mean, my pajamas.
The shoes on?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's second base. I think we can decide that is second base.
What?
Okay. Sleeping over is second base?
No. I'm saying that it sounds to me.
He's guessing that you got to second base. But that's not confirmed by you.
Right.
I'm
still not totally sure what the bases are, but
I know
sure,
we've gone over this.
I know we can keep it at that.
Third and home get a little graphic for our family radio show podcast, but second base is, I think it's merely
PG-13.
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Okay, sure.
Okay, second base.
Wait,
in scoring position.
Is this the hinge? This is one of the hinge dates who has gone in the race, gone in ahead of the others.
Yes.
He's still ahead.
He's still ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the others? Still around or
still
just
around? Just I'm just trying to.
They're Sanzi.
I'm trying this thing where I'm trying to not put all my eggs into one basket, and it's like going against everything in me. Like truly, it's going against everything.
I'm proud
in me.
Of you though, because like I don't think this is where I think some things get confusing. I don't think you have to put eggs in other people's baskets. Like I don't think it's like you have to go on multiple dates.
Right. And I'm not. That's what I'm
that's
not.
True.
Like, I'm
I
not.
Think you
yeah.
just need to keep some of the eggs to yourself.
Yeah.
Not give him all the eggs.
Yeah. Which is
in your
still
body and hypothetically.
But like that's still really hard for me.
I know. Honestly, it's so hard. And it's hard to like not share everything I know for you?
Oh, it's been literally killing me.
I'm private, and it's hard to not... It's harder sometimes to keep it private, but... The more I see people prying, the more private I'm like, it's like, it validates me being private.
See, what's funny is I'm not trying to be private at all. That's not my intention. My intention is I don't want to put all my eggs into the basket. So I don't want to like give him a nickname and like talk about him and like go down that path because it's not even like remotely there yet, you know?
Do you think you feel like you're jinxing it if you go ahead and give it a nickname and then it doesn't work out?
I wouldn't blame you.
No, I don't feel like I'm jinxing it. I just feel like I'm literally putting all my eggs into that basket. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to explain because it's like, I'm not trying to keep it private. I'm just, I'm trying to figure it out for myself. And it's, so that's what I'm saying. Like it just slipped out during the morning show. You know what I mean? Like
it just, great. I love that when that happens so much.
And Ryan literally like stopped everything and like played some whatever.
Christmas music. Cause Christmas. It was a Christmas gift he was getting.
So it's like things slip out and it's fine. And I'm not like, I'm not actively trying not to talk about it, but I'm trying to,
I agree with you. Because if you give it a nickname, Ryan's asking about it regularly. We're talking about it on here regularly, and it gives the relationship. It accelerates it.
It makes it a relationship, yes, when it's not there, right, yet. And I think that's what I'm realizing is it's like I go on like a few good dates with somebody, and then I'm like all in too soon. You know, like it's still too soon. Like and then it falls apart, and then I think it hurts worse because then there's like expectation attached to it, and like, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess that's true, but as we always point out,
totally. That's why I keep it private too. That's like the whole thing.
What do you mean?
Of keeping it private is that you have all these people and their expectations. Mine's just an extreme version of what you're saying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you've been in a relationship for how long now?
I know.
For how long? Almost 2 years.
No, not almost 2 years. Like a year and a half.
Oh no, not 2 years. A year and a half.
It's 24 months. That's all.
I get scared of like just.
I think for me, I think I just want to like establish it first and then like be like, okay, we can give him a nickname. We can talk about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Wait, so what kind of noise did your stomach make? Hungry or like, good question. Or not, or like,
it was like a it was like a gurgle. It was like hunger / gurgle. And I was like,
so what do? You have to go like do some things?
No, I think it was more hungry. But Ryan told me is just to like pound like liquid. Because I wake up really hungry in the morning. And so my stomach's kind of always growling. I usually eat like right when I wake up and come into work. So like I'm usually eating at like 6 a.m. or something like that. So on the weekends or whatever, when I'm waking up at 7 or 8, like my body's like, where's the food?
And he said a jug of water will stop those noises.
Yeah, or hot tea first thing. I'm like,
have that handy.
Just have it outside of my bed. But yeah, so I'm going to try that. But body noises are like,
I know,
the worst.
That's
the worst.
Especially in the first like few. You're like trying to make everything so perfect and like my body doesn't make any noises. I don't do anything gross. I'm just.
But it's involuntary. Like you, for all you know, you're passing gas in your sleep.
Totally.
That's a weird thing about having a new someone sleep over because you don't know what you're doing in your sleep. You're talking in your sleep. You're flailing around. Who knows what you're doing?
I know. And in my mind, I'm like a peaceful sleeper because I like go to sleep on the same side and like I wake up kind of in the same exact position. So I don't think I'm a flailer.
Do you think you fart?
I don't. Probably.
That is.
Right?
Probably,
I feel like we all probably do.
I don't.
Wait, why are you so shocked by this?
I'm not trying to say this in like a way of like, oh, I don't do that. I literally am not. I burp way more than I fart.
So you burp in your sleep?
No, I don't think I'd make like bodily function noises in my sleep. But I feel like you like.
But the hope is he's also asleep and he's not going to hear anything you're doing. You're not going to hear anything he's doing because you're sleeping.
That's what you like to think.
The nail salon story.
Oh, I love that story.
Like, I know. But, oh okay. God.
That was in the broad daylight of, you know, imagine you not just knowing what's going on.
Okay. Do you know? So I did this blood work test or whatever where it says, like, things that I shouldn't eat for, like, what's actually, like, not like somebody telling me, like, this is like actual science, like my blood. Uh-huh. What was number one on my list?
Gum.
It was like, do not chew gum. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was at the point where I was chewing so much sugar-free gum because I was using it as like, instead of eating sweets, I would just like pop some nice.
Xylitol.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's uncontrollable. That would have been bad.
So have you stopped gum?
Yeah. I only chew gum if it's like a serious need.
I've stopped gum completely because I don't understand the purpose of it. I realized it's kind of like soda.
Minty.
Yeah, but mints. Mints keep me minty. Brushing my teeth keeps me minty. I don't think gum is just like, I don't know. I feel like it's not worth it because there's the chemicals and the sugar-free element of it. It's not, I don't think it's great for your jaw necessarily. So yeah. I said I'm Sansi on gum.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Had to. No choice. All right, let's talk about our guest today because it's really exciting because he's a big deal.
He really is a big deal. I kept seeing them show him on the AMAs and I was like, oh! We're going to talk to him.
Easton, how much am I allowed to play of the songs?
We're told less than 20 seconds.
Right, oh, that's a pretty good amount.
Five.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa! That's all you need for that one.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's do some other ones. Yeah. I love this guy.
Teaser. No, honey, I'm good.
I could have another, but I probably should not. That was a smash.
Yeah.
I love that song.
All right, let's do. Oh, this is a good one, too. I got these fresh eyes. Never seen you before like this. My God, you're beautiful. Okay, this one's awesome, although it has a swear word in it. I had to take it out for the elementary school carnival a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
it's right at the beginning. I think you'll hear it. I've been grinding so long, been trying this here for years. It's here, but he doesn't say it here.
I don't know that one.
He says the S word.
No, what's that song?
Oh, that's Good to Be Alive right about now.
I know. Mark played the most not...
That one is a smash.
Yeah, but you played like you should play the hook.
I can't play the hook. I only have the songs. I can only play the first part of it. Sorry. Here comes the newest one, which I think is really good.
I will fight. Oh, it's so good.
From the soundtrack to Fight for
You. Yeah.
That's all I can play.
This is the movie that I was watching when we came back from Hawaii on the plane.
5 feet apart.
And I was just... Waterworks.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
You're, by the way, there are studies. You are more emotional on airplanes.
I sobbed watching Creed 2 one time.
I loved Creed 2.
I mean, it's so good, and I probably would have been emotional anyway, but I was like, embarrassingly crying.
People will not watch Creed because it's a boxing movie. Those movies are so
good. I love
good.
Boxing movies. Yeah, okay. Boxing movies are the best.
Oh, my wife hates boxing movies. She loved Creed. So if you're into it, I mean, give it a try. It's fantastic.
Also... We can talk about this after, but I watched a movie that made me, I have not cried as hard as I cried watching this movie, maybe ever.
Oh, wow.
That's a good tease. But Andy Grammer is here.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Tanya has raved about Andy Grammer for a long time, so yeah. I'm really excited to meet him.
I've known him for a couple years, and I just fall more and more in love with him every single time.
Unfortunately, he's married, but we're going to...
Right, I fell in love with him like...
As a man, just as a person.
As a human, yeah.
As a person. We'll be back with Andy. So the holidays mean celebrations with friends, company parties, Tanya.
Yeah.
And family gatherings. So why not look stylish and feel comfortable all season long? Rothy's is the company making beautiful shoes for women and kids out of plastic water bottles, and they are crazy comfortable and fully machine washable too.
Yeah, they're stylish, they're sustainable, comfortable, washable. Really the all-in-one pair of shoes. They're the perfect flats for the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. I think they're actually perfect because you can kind of like fold them and they kind of slip so nicely into like carry-ons and luggage and things like that. So if you're packing for the holidays, your Rothy's are really just like a great move. They're stylish and comfortable, and they go with everything from yoga pants to dresses and skirts. They come in an ever-changing array of colors, prints, and patterns, and they're available in a range of styles like sneakers, loafers, points, and more. So keep an eye out for the holiday colorway launches coming out this season, as they are sure to sell out fast.
I'm on the website, and I'm going to get the point in the willow green. It's so cute. Look.
Oh, that is really cute.
So cute. I love the pops of color. So Rothy's did a great job having multiple colors and different prints and different styles for the shoes that you like. They make a great gift for your best girlfriends and your family members. They'll thank you with every step that they take in their comfy shoes. Rothy's are seamlessly knit using thread made from plastic water bottles. So they're ultra comfortable from the second you slip them on. That's right. There's zero break-in period in these shoes, which is a game changer. Any flat I've ever had, I've had to do the whole breaking them in. Plus, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. There's no risk, no worries, and no reason not to try.
Yep. So check out all the amazing styles available right now at rothys.com/Becca. So go to Rothy's, rothys.com/Becca to get your new favorite flats in time for the holidays. Comfort, style, and sustainability. These are the shoes that you've been waiting for, people. Head to rothys.com/Becca.
We have a very... Did y'all see the video I made where I'm like, we have a very special guest over... I said it over and over again.
Yes, so good.
But we do. We have a very special guest scrubbing in today. Andy Grammer is
what
here.
Up?
You know, Tanya, I guess it was when she met you, which was years ago, right?
Yeah.
She talked about you so much and the type of man that you are and how you are the kind of guy that girl should be looking
for. Listen, I need you to lower your expectations immediately.
No.
Take them way down.
We'll talk to your wife really get to the nitty gritty.
You like everything about you. It's actually funny. So I was going to go into the scrubbing in Facebook group and ask them for questions because I feel like you're the Mecca of what women want.
Oh God.
No, I'm serious.
I don't know about that.
No, you are.
Well,
would Asia agree with that?
No, definitely not. You should have brought her. She should be in on this. Yes. My wife would be like, kind of.
Okay. I'm not saying you're perfect because I don't know. I see you. I mean, I've seen you a handful of times, but you might not be perfect, but I think that you're open to like learning and being a better person constantly. And I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah. I think most of us are, I would hope.
Yeah. That's where you're wrong, senor.
I think a lot of us are trying our best. We're doing our best.
Some people's best just isn't as good as other people's best, you know?
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
What, Tanya, since you have these feelings of the handful of times you've been around Andy, what are the things that are so standout-ish about him?
Well, first of all, you're just like very kind. And I think that you're just really aware of like other people. You're not... Like, for being a musician and for being in the entertainment industry, you're so, like, not self-absorbed. It's, like, weird.
I think basically you just like my mom.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I lost my mom 10 years ago, and I talk about it a lot. She's really, really great. And I think you'd like to hang out with her.
I wish so too.
We'll have to work that out wherever we go next.
Yeah. When how old's your daughter now?
My daughter is 2 and like coming up 2.5.
So when I saw you recently, he was asking me like questions about like my relationship with my dad and like what's the one strength and what's the best quality, because he like has a daughter now and he wants to learn the dynamic and like what. And I was like, who does that? Like, nobody
and the
does
new
that.
One that I have is now that I'm gonna have another little girl.
Yeah.
I'm asking dads who I like. Sisters that I know are like really good friends, I like to go ask their dad, okay, so what's the deal? Why? What'd you do? How'd you set it up? Like, what's occurring? Do you have brothers, sisters?
I have 3 sisters and a brother.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Awesome. Big family.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And we're all pretty close.
You're pretty close.
Yeah.
Did you have to share a room?
Yes.
This is what I hear.
I shared a room until literally I went to college.
That's
or until
great.
She went to college.
And
actually.
It was like, I'm sure it was frustrating at times.
Yeah,
it was
probably
great.
Mostly for her. I enjoyed it, but I have like a vivid memory of her asking me to go. It was pitch black. Everyone was asleep. And she was like, I really want some chocolate milk. Would you go get me some chocolate milk? Yeah. And me being like the little sister, like wanting to impress, just totally my personality in general.
Oh, awesome.
I go to get it and I come back and she jumps and scares me out of the corner and the chocolate milk goes everywhere.
This is
so
great.
So that was our...
That's your dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Oh, that's so your dynamic to this day still, by the way.
But when it comes to your music, you're... you know, how long have you been in a relationship with your wife? Like, how long have y'all been together?
Great question. I'm pretty sure we've been married somewhere like 7 or 8 years. One of those two. For sure it's one of those two.
Okay, great.
And yeah, she's great. And we've been dating for almost 10 now.
And as a musician, you base a lot of your music off of your love story.
Love story, and then, you know, just like life, you know.
Life story.
A lot of different stuff.
Any fights?
Fights? Yeah, we definitely fight.
I mean, but like, do you ever write songs and she's like, oh.
Oh, yeah. There's a song on my first album that I wrote with her in the room. We were having a fight and we were at her apartment and I went and sat down at the piano and just started writing a song like at her in the moment. And she's like, you're going to do it in front of me? Like right here in front of me. Yeah. It's a song called You Should Know Better Than That.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Well, she's a musician too, right?
Yeah, she is. She's a writer as well.
I also feel like Honey, I'm Good was probably a little, was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in. She's down. What's cool about her is that she's, because she's a writer, she's pretty down for authenticity.
Right.
And sometimes authenticity is a little bit weird when you're talking about, you know, there's always that thing of like, if you're going to write something, how authentic can you get? Because sometimes it's someone else's story too. So you don't want to like make someone feel weird.
Right.
But with me and my wife, we're pretty open because she's like, I'm using everything about you in mine.
Right.
So if we're both agreeing, like we don't care what it makes the other person look like and we can just fully tell how we feel, that's like really nice.
What's the one key to a successful marriage? In your opinion?
I don't think there's like an answer because what's the word that's coming to my head is like honesty. And I think that honesty is not necessarily like you're honest or you're not. It's like a sliding scale of like how honest you are. I think there's probably a bar. Like me and my wife go hard in the paint with honesty.
Okay.
Right. So
that's
like
good. Everybody
has about themselves that they don't want anyone else to know. And the more that you can own up to your stuff in the moment, then the cleaner the whole thing can be. I think what happens a lot is like people just don't own up to little things and big things over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when something blows up and you both look at each other and you're like, I don't even know where to start. We just like, we got to break. This isn't possible.
Right.
But if you go like, oh, I have this issue, you have that issue. Let me tell you vulnerably about it. Let's talk about it.
Uh-huh.
It's the deep, intense stuff. It's really gnarly.
But it gives you a chance to work on it and it gives you a chance to be held accountable in a sense of saying like, I'm sharing this with you so that it's not like holed up in me and ends up exploding out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we are all so much more messed up than we're willing to talk about. And so hopefully with your significant other, you talk about that.
If you don't talk
about that with the person that you're married to or with, then it's just like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah. See, my thing is more like I need to wait. I need to like wait for the right time to like express all my weird things, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was like a third date and I was like, so I have a Dear Future Husband journal.
This is who I am.
Yeah.
Am I scared you away?
Yeah. Maybe wait a little bit longer to talk about that.
Yeah.
Would that scare you away, a Dear Future Husband journal on the third date?
You know, I don't think there's any like good way to do it. I agree that like to drop it all on the first date is probably not the move.
Right.
But I think that we all, that the barometer for how honest we're willing to be with others still right now is like low. You look like social media and we all just share our best parts of ourselves.
Right.
So that's like the far side. And hopefully the opposite side is marriage.
Wow.
I think marriage is so cool.
Wow, that was good.
Marriage is really cool if you're willing to go in. If you're not willing to go in, it's pretty weird.
So how do you know if a guy's marriage material?
Ooh.
Well, he's a guy. It would be more,
what are like the signs, the telltale signs?
You just asked me this the other day, actually.
What was your answer?
What was my answer? I thought it had to do with maturity. I thought a certain age.
Life experience.
Parents. A long committed, like a good relationship that he's seen his whole life.
Yeah, but you can't help that.
To me, there's like, it's someone who wants to, who wants to show up and do and like work with it.
Yeah.
Like, games are not good. If a guy likes you, he'll let you know. That's pretty basic.
Okay. Oh, that's, you know what? Basics are fine. We
like
enjoy
so
basics.
So basic.
Okay.
So if you don't know that a guy likes you, he might not be marriage material.
Okay. Like if you're questioning it, that's good.
You shouldn't be questioning it. It shouldn't be like a whole dance.
That's, I say that all the time. I say, if he likes you, you'll know.
Wow.
And I think a guy's marriage material if you don't have to change yourself a lot. Ooh. Like I find people ask me like, well, how did you know your wife was your wife? Like, oh, because it was, I was able to just be who I am. And that was, that worked.
Easy.
Yeah. I shouldn't have too many things where I'm shifting who I am to be with you. At least in the beginning. It's like.
Yeah. How soon in though, when you were dating, did you know she was going to be your wife?
I didn't know for sure. I just like want to, I like to keep moving things farther and like.
Right.
Like this should be progressing.
But you even know? That's a sign of marriage material. I think there are plenty of guys that aren't
that don't want to progress.
No, they're like, let's just keep it how it is. Let's not complicate things.
Okay, for sure. One of the things that you're making me think of is like what guys do and girls as well is they base. Like I'm getting into poetry, and I wrote a poem the other day. It was like, don't. What was it?
Tanya's melting.
Oh, it was like don't cast the lead in your movie based on the sex scene. What a terrible idea. Like, haven't we all seen movies where you're like, ugh, you were casted, like the guy or the girl you cast is based on like when they were going to take their shirt off and the whole movie sucks.
Yeah.
Because you did that, you know?
Quite a few movies.
And then I've seen other movies where, you know, you start the movie and you're like, I don't even think this girl's that attractive. And then like 20 minutes in, you're like, I'm in. Yeah. She's so cool. Yeah. I'm so down. This is incredible. I think that we place way too much emphasis on sex. Like way, way too much.
Don't cast the lead in the movie on the sex scene. That needs to be the title of this episode.
Because, I know that's not sexy. I'm very aware that that's not a sexy idea. But the truth is that I'm married right now. We got a baby. I got another one coming. And sex is awesome. And it's just like not the biggest part of the thing.
Right.
It's one of the things, and it's awesome. I'm not going to downplay it. It's freaking great. But it's like, in our society, you drive around Los Angeles with the billboard and stuff. You'd think it was like 95% of the relationship was like, how good is it when you guys bang?
Yeah.
That is not what like good a relationship is.
Right.
A good relationship is like, oh my God, sex is great. Also, there's 80%, probably 90 of like the rest of life. Like, there's so many more things happening in life outside of, like, who's sex?
I think
who are you having sex with? What's the sex? How are we doing it? Like we just focus way too much on it.
I think that's a very refreshing take on it, and I think our listeners will really appreciate that because we have a lot of girls who feel a lot of pressure about literally just the sex aspect alone when dating of, like, how do I say I'm not ready for that or that maybe I'm waiting for marriage or whatever the case is. There's so much emphasis on sex, and it's like when you get into a relationship, that's not everything.
It's just not everything.
It's a part of it.
It's a piece.
Yeah,
it's a great freaking piece.
Yeah,
I love the piece.
Yeah,
it is not. It's way smaller than we're led into.
But that's interesting. Do you two have that perspective? Because you both are people that waited till later in life to start doing that.
Sure, but I mean,
Becca also, she was on The Bachelor and she was still a virgin.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if that's why you have the perspective, because you lived so much life before you got into that and got your brain all clogged up with all that nonsense.
First of all, I am very loosely, I wrote a song about it, like, the V card was so tattered by the time that I got there. It's like I pulled it out and they're like, what is that? I can't even tell what that is.
There's a lot of punch holes in
it. So maybe, but I also, so there was still like lots of physical stuff occurring with the relationships before.
Right.
And I think it makes it way more messy than it needs to be. I still think that right now we're in a time period where we just put so much emphasis on sex. What our whole purpose in life is,
right,
is to be like sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's so not it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's so much more to do here than like making sure that you look really, really good with your shirt off. Like, fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But like, oh my God, there's a whole other side of life outside of who do you want to have sex with? And are you attracting people? And the sex scene in your movie.
Yeah.
Like when you watch a movie, there's a whole fucking movie. There's a whole movie. And as a guy, I've done it too. And it's horrible. You like, you go to the movie or it's like late and you're like on like Showtime. You're like, I'm going to watch this whole movie.
No,
Like, I'm gonna watch this whole movie because I'm pretty sure this girl is gonna be in a bra at some point in this movie. And what a sad way to watch a movie. Like, sincerely, you're watching the movie the whole time. You're like, ah, that's terrible dialogue. I hate this. This is bad. Yeah. But like, you got me because I'm pretty sure that this is gonna happen at some point. Like, ugh, what a waste of time.
Yeah, I just think that there's like this, because like, I used to be this way where I would have sex with somebody before I necessarily was ready to, because I felt like I needed to like keep him happy. Not, I'm not saying I would have sex to make some like out of my own will. Like I was willing. It wasn't like I was not a willing participant, but I would do it before I was ready to, just because I felt like that's what I needed to do. And then I would end up being so hurt at the end of it, because I not only did I not get commitment, which is what I wanted, but then I gave all of myself to this person. So it's just like, I think that there's, when you're dating, it can get really tricky because sometimes you're just not like, and I don't know where that came from. And I don't know if I like grew that over time, and I don't know like exactly what switched in me, but it was actually, I think it was meeting Devon Franklin when I realized I was like in this perpetual pattern of pain. Like I was just like giving my body before my heart, before he gave me his heart, you know? And I think there's just like, I don't know when that shift comes for like a lot of other women, but I do think that's something that women struggle with, like especially when they newly start dating somebody.
It's like when to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the progression of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can get like really puritanical in these conversations, and that's like not at all where I want to go about it. I do think in general, we just spend way too much time and thought and energy on sex.
Agreed.
Yeah. So like when you're checking somebody out, that is a piece of, I guess, you know, some people will say like, oh man, I can't believe you got married without like testing that first. And I was like, you know, sure. I hear your point, but I was pretty attracted to her and it's great.
Right.
I don't think that's the hard part.
Right.
To be honest.
Totally.
The hard part's like, do we work well together? Do we fit well together? Can we have tough conversations together? Is there honesty here? Do I like to do similar things that you like to do?
Right, like live life the same.
Yeah, do we like to live life? Are we complementary?
Yeah.
You know, me and my wife are extremely different, but we're complementary.
What are y'all different in?
Oh, we're like the most different. So I get filled up by being around a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And my wife gets filled up by being alone. Is that you?
I need alone time.
Yeah. So I like, the older that I get, I'm starting to like realize myself, like I need to be in a different city, like pretty consistently.
Well, that's great that you do what you do.
I know. And she's like, you're insane. I don't want that at all. And so finding the balance, if I didn't have her, I would just be like a helium balloon that just like got caught and just like in the air. Just like flying around. And if she was left alone, she would not like be forced to come to Paris and hang out with me.
You know?
So we're like a good, she does it and she doesn't want to do it. But then when she gets there, she's like, this is great.
Yeah,
I love this.
Yeah.
So she gives me a home and I get her out of the home. And it's like a good balance.
Oh, I love that.
That's really sweet. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of your touring, I did want to talk about this because actually Mark sent me your Polestar article.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you what this did to me inside when I read it. Okay, I don't want to read the whole thing. Can you like give us a brief synopsis of this? Because I don't want to read the whole thing.
So basically, I've had women on tour before. And this year, there was like a shakeup. Some of my band members left. Some new crew members came in. And it was like a cool way to just like reset on some culture stuff. And I brought in all the women that were on my tour. There's five of them, backup singers, and some people in production and stuff. And I sat them down. I said like, okay, is there anything we can do better for women touring? And they all gave me like cool answers. And then at the end of them giving like practical answers, they looked me in the eye and they're like, no one's ever asked me this question before. Whoa. And I was like, no one's ever asked you this question. Like getting very defensive on their behalf. Like getting up on my high horse. And then I realized when I left them that I have been the head of like a touring company for 8 years and I've never asked this question to women.
Right.
She's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I decided like, man, if I think I'm one of the good guys and I've never done this over 8 years.
Right.
I need to write an article and try to reach out to the other good guys, like quote unquote, guys that think they're good.
Yeah.
That just won't even ask the opinion. I don't know how, so we're pretty far off on the baseline of
I found two things I found really interesting, because you posted about this article on your Instagram and you're like, I don't want to come off like I'm high and mighty.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I know you, I know that that's like the complete opposite of what, like, this is you just wanting to like bring awareness to like what's going on.
Yeah.
And like the answers that they gave were like, we just want a trash can with a lid on it, you know, because like we have tampons that we throw away and we don't want to wrap it in 5,000 things of toilet paper, put it in, you know what I mean? So it's like these little things that you can, these little adjustments that you can make to make life on the road more comfortable for women is so cool that you just even like that you even thought of that. And it's like, I think what it comes down to for me is like, you are a man and we are women. We live life differently. We just do. So it's like,
different.
Yeah, you
don't. And
there's
a big push to make it seem like it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different.
It's different. And, but I think that the thing is it's not like you intentionally are trying to make life harder for women on tour at all. Like nobody's doing that.
No.
But it's like when you open this conversation, it's like at the end of the day, if we all just kind of learned or reached out to people that lived life a different way, or maybe had a, like we're in a different religion or a different gender or a different sexual preference, like that we don't understand, if we all just open that dialogue, the world would be such a better place.
There's still just not, you know, we've made a lot of strides, but it's still, there's not an equality of men and women that we would hope that there is yet.
Right.
So what that means is if you're a guy and you're just, you're in your day job or you're working or wherever you are, it's probably more set up towards you. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we all just agree that like it's equal and we just continue doing it the way that we're doing it, then you have a little bit of an advantage. If you don't ask the woman standing next to you, like, is there anything I can do for you to make this better? Then what you're doing is you're just agreeing that it's equal.
Right.
But it's not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I dare any man to like look to the woman to your left and be like, is there anything that I could do to make this better or more equal for you? And most women will be like, oh, totally. I thought I just had to work double as hard because I didn't want to be annoying and I don't want to be difficult.
Right, right.
If you're a guy who's like, most guys are good. We just like, you don't ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
So most guys, if you look to your left and you ask the woman like, is there anything I can do for you? And then they answer. Most dudes have like great hearts.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God. Like part of being a man, like a good man, is taking care of women, mm-hmm. and like standing up for them. So if you ask them a question and they give you an answer, then I guarantee most men will be like, oh yes, totally. Let me go get you a trash can and then feel good about it.
Totally.
But it's the question that we won't do.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Right.
We're just like, just living our lives, enjoying. Listen, I'm a white guy. I'm not like at least 15% of my life like talking about stuff, I'm the worst.
And how do you not want to support that man?
I know.
Like everybody that's listening, I need you to like do everything that Andy, like support him.
Oh my goodness.
What's out right now?
The music is so good.
The music is so good.
We don't even have to ask people to do that. I DJ'd at my daughter's elementary school festival recently, and I mean, I had to get in there. I had to keep Good to Be Alive.
Sweet.
What's the other one? Don't Give Up on Me. That was a big one. It's just great, great stuff.
Thank you.
Every song.
So
and
sweet.
And it's so hard to imagine. I mean, how often do you think about those days when you were on Third Street Promenade?
Yeah, like a decent amount. It's a really great grounding.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, he used to be one of the singers like on Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica.
With like an open guitar case in front of him.
That's how he started.
That's my favorite part about Third Street Promenade.
It's pretty great.
There's so many amazing,
really
talented
good.
People.
That's where he came from.
Yeah. So how did you... How did you go from there to
so
this?
I did that for 4 years, and then I wrote a song called Keep Your Head Up while I was out street performing out there. Yeah. So the story goes that I had spent the whole day street performing with no tips, which is like such a long time.
Yeah.
Right? That's like probably, it's around 8 hours of just singing. But then there's this whole other thing of like getting up early so that you can pack all the stuff onto the cart to then bring it down, put it in your mom's minivan, drive it there, unload it. It's like a lot of output to have no one stop and give you any encouragement even. A dollar basically is like someone going like, keep going. Like, good luck. Good try. And so then I got nothing. So that's a long time. I have like set that up correctly.
Did you do that thing where you put your own money in it to make it look like?
Oh, always. Always. But when you have a day where you're like on a Saturday, you wake up, you're excited to go try. You get out there and you're just singing and no one cares for that amount of time. Around 8 p.m., you close up shop and I put all my stuff back on and I was like wheeling the cart back to the parking structure. And I swear to God, I did this. I looked up at the sky and I was like, your move. I will never leave. Like, I'm never leaving. I'll be here forever till the end of time. I'll just keep coming. So you might as well just make a move for me because unless you want me to just be here, you know?
Yeah.
And then I went home and wrote, keep your head up.
Ugh.
So wow. It's really cool. It's kind of how it works. And one of my favorite things is to try and encourage young artists. That's like one of the things that super pumps me up is because I think a lot of artists get into this building. We're in iHeart and they like to keep up the mystique that they just like have it or they were it. Or from the jump, or that they did it by themselves is one of the good lies too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just it. I'm doing it by myself. And it's like, no, no, not at all. And all that does is, it's kind of like the equivalent of like airbrushing on like magazine covers for women.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think artists do that. We airbrush our artist waste and our artist.
Like, it was just like, so easy.
I just am this.
Yeah, right.
Right? It's like, no, you're super not. And when you do that, it's the equivalent of women seeing the cover and being like, oh, man, right. I'll never be like that.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many artists that will and can. And so try to, like, take down the facade as much as possible about, like, no, you can. It's really hard.
Yeah.
You have to work super hard at it, but it's totally possible.
Yeah.
Do you go down to the promenade now and support guys and
I do.
Give them money?
I mean, when I'm home, I love every once in a while to get out there and just, it's so, I love that the heart of someone that is being told basically by the world, like, no.
Yeah.
And then in the face of that is like, well, it's my right. It's against the law to tell me to shut up. It's like freedom of speech. I'm allowed to come out here and sing my heart out. That is really inspiring to me. So that group of people, I have a lot of like love.
Have you ever gone down there and someone, one of them is performing one of your songs?
I have. It's so sweet.
That is so
unbelievable.
Cool.
Truly unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you sing it with them?
Yeah. That happened in Vegas too at one point. And a lot of them know me because I'm one of the ones that has made it from the street into other places.
Yeah. Oh, you're like a Third Street Promenade, like,
yeah. And there's
hero.
A couple of us, but yeah, I'm one of the ones, so they know, and it's really sweet.
There was a guy that was on American Idol last season or the season before, and I saw. We stopped and watched him sing for like a while.
Oh yeah.
And then last year, I guess he was on American Idol, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. I didn't even know that's where you came from.
Yeah, so totally.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
So cool.
Great. So cool.
So you're right. Keep your head up. What do you do with that?
So I wrote it, and my manager at the time.
You had a manager, even though you were just on the promo.
Well, no, he wasn't managing me yet. And he's still my manager now. His name is Ben Singer. He's the best.
Oh, hi, Ben.
And so, yeah, he came out to the street and he saw me out there and we started working together. But started working together in that he like got me a better mat, like a better, like a better rug to put my stuff on. And so we were really teammates from there. And then that one started to catch fire a little bit on the radio and then it got in Pitch Perfect and then it just started to go.
And could you tell as you performed it on the street that this is connecting people? Like, people
yeah, this
saying,
is better.
Like people are singing along and like
this one is giving. I always like to say, it's really hard to do a service with art. To actually be of service to someone when you're doing your art is freaking hard.
Yeah.
We all know what it is to go like pass someone on the street or have you go to your friend's show or something. And when someone leaves and they say, oh, that was good. And if they mean it, what that means is, oh, that gave to me instead of me giving to it. Right.
Right.
So when you go see your friend play and they suck, you're giving your attention as opposed to them giving to you.
Yeah.
And you have to get better and better and better at what you do to be able to make that switch to where when someone sees you play, you're actually giving to them, which is so hard. And one of the hardest things about being an artist is that you don't get paid until you do that. And sometimes that takes like a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So other jobs you go in and they train you and you learn like, oh, okay, I'm going to be paid while they're training me how to do this. And then I'll be good enough at my job. In art, it's like you just don't get paid until you've done something that it actually massively gives somebody something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard. So that can take a really long time to get to that place.
I think that's really good for people to know because I do think, we've gotten past the airbrush that like people know, okay, there's editing in these photos. Like we've gotten to that, but people don't really talk about the struggle of coming up as an artist, or, you know, and these actors who have been acting in like small roles in commercials forever, and then they finally get a big break and everyone thinks like they just came out of nowhere. And it's like, no, they've been on your TV just in small parts.
Yeah, and also the like up and down of the industry. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you can only be up for so long before you come down again. And it's like, I think that inconsistency can really mess with people.
Mess with people.
Like really much
Yeah.
But I like...
Messes with me for sure.
Yeah. Really?
Totally, because you have to then... You have to kind of block it out because it goes up and down. And you can tell with different... When you're... going into the same building that you went in last time, that people look at you different and you have a different thing on you. As an artist, I feel like you always have a stink.
That's so interesting.
You always have a stink. You either have like the, you're hot stink, or you have like your over stink.
Yeah. Mm.
But you're the same person the right. whole time. So you're doing the same thing. And also the stink has nothing to do with my purpose on earth.
Right.
Like it has nothing to do with who I am, mm-hmm. why I'm alive. All this stuff. It's like all this, it's like, it's all wrapped up in ego and weirdness. Mm-hmm. So when I come in and you won't talk to me the same way that you talked to me last time, then it throws me into like, well, weird. What do I do with this? Do I let what you're giving me all the way into my self-worth? I can't do that.
Right. But some people do.
But some people do.
Yeah.
Similarly, when I come in and you're like, you're on fire. You're God. It's like, no, that's not correct either.
Totally.
I have to kind of somehow find my middle zone here where I go back to it's like, I love to make music. I love to make people happy. Mm-hmm. I love to try to be of service. That's my box. And then the sway of what everybody will tell you about yourself, you have to kind of like keep it at bay.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
So that's so good for everyone to hear, honestly, because there's so much pressure. Even without even being in the spotlight, the pressure of appearing a certain way or looking like you have it all together and listening to others' opinions, like that's good advice for everyone. Yeah.
And I'm not great. I'm not amazing at it. I just am like trying to be aware of it. You know, I wrote Don't Give Up on Me in a point where I could feel the stink on
coming.
Me. Yeah, I could feel it coming. I'm like, damn it. Everybody is talking to me like this is over. Like I'm over.
Don't Give Up on Me. You wrote that after what song?
I knew that it was like a good period of time between what was the last
was
one?
It Honey,
like
I'm
Fresh
Good?
Eyes.
Oh,
yeah, something like that.
Oh yeah, I think it was.
It was like a good period of time. It took a long time to write the song to write the next album, and I knew that I needed the next thing because you need the thing,
right.
Keep going, and I was just getting a sense from the world, which is like so weird. And if your name is the thing, then it's not like, oh, you're the product that you make is a little bit like
right.
in question. It's like, you are your worth as a human being on this planet is in question. And you're like, oh my God, that's quite a bit of pressure. And so then, it can get in on you and stuff. And so then you write a song like Don't Give Up on Me.
But how do you respond like that pressure? Like you are going to be over if you cannot come up with the next big hit, and then you do it. I mean, that song's incredible.
Oh man, thank you. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that you have to block, you have to like try your best to sift what's true and what's totally not true. So what keeps happening is you keep going back to like, don't compare yourself. You're here to be you. And so just like keep trying to be you amidst all the chatter.
Yeah.
That's best advice I can give. That sounds so cheesy. Nope, this is what's horrible is that when you get to the crux of life, like the really important stuff about life, it becomes very simple and can sound cheesy.
Yeah.
It's true.
Just be you.
I know.
I think it's so interesting because like we all see it all, like in pop culture. It's like we see these artists that they just like skyrocket and they're number one on every chart and they're just crushing it. And then like, then their sophomore album comes out and it doesn't sell really well and they can't get a single on the radio and like they struggle and it's like this and they're young. Like some of them are super
really
young.
Hard.
And it's like this really crazy high and then this really gnarly low. And it's like nobody,
and neither of them are true.
Right. But like society, like they,
that's the truth.
Nobody
neither
sees
of those,
that.
Neither of those are true or correct. The idea that you are better than anyone because you have this song.
Right.
And that now you get to go to the front of the line and you're like really important and
right.
you can get into every single place you want.
Right.
That's not true. That's not like truth about life. That's a farce. That's false. And so if you give over to the falseness of it, then when it drops you all the way subterranean, you've given in to this other idea of letting other people tell you your kind of worth about being here. So if you can just like lock in on, what do I love to talk about? What do I love to sing about? What is my art about?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I love jumping out of bed in the morning to do? And then when the world will tell me that I'm this, I have to be like, okay, cool. Thank you so much. But like, eh.
Yeah.
And then when they tell me that I'm so low, you'll be like, thank you so much, but no. And just try to keep doing, and then really focus on, not on them, on like, who do you make your music for? What do you, what are the, like, if you can focus on the people that you make your music for, that is your map of like where you're going.
This is good for us to know because we just won our second People's Choice Award. And
guys,
so we're kind of getting
a
little
big,
cocky. We're getting a little cocky and we really need to remember it's about the Scrub Sisters and that's what it's all about.
I wrote this post the other day that was really interesting. I don't know if I got it completely correct, but I used to have, when I would like, as dreamers, I think we're like elementary school dreamers. That there's an art to dreaming. And the idea that you, what we're taught to dream is like, what do you want to be? It's like, I want to be a movie star. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an entrepreneur. These are all like what I am. And I think that that's like, when you think of that, you think of, you know, I want to be a movie star. You're thinking of like you accepting an award and everyone's cheering for you. And it's like, cool. That's not that good of a dream, in my opinion, until you turn it to like, what are you doing for other people? Now that's an interesting dream.
Yeah.
And even how you say it. So like, I want to be an astronaut. Cool. I want to help like expand how far we can go for everyone.
Right.
Now everybody's like, do it. that's awesome.
That's an interesting perspective change.
I want to be like, I want to be a musician. It's like, cool. I want to make everyone feel less alone through my music. You know, like, if we can get better at dreaming, then there's actually maps to go like, oh, cool. That's what I want to do. I want to go help other people this way. I want to affect someone this way.
Yeah.
As opposed to an egocentric dream of, I want to be on, I want to be accepting an award.
Right.
Yeah.
In my head, that's my dream. It's like, well, that's kind of like you, that's like ego.
Yeah.
That's not dreaming. You're ego dreaming. Ego dreaming is so short-sighted as opposed to like, service dreaming is like, it goes forever. It can go in all directions wherever you want to go, you know?
Yeah, I dreamed about being
it's so good,
pop star, singing and dancing.
Sure. You did?
Crowd cheering. I can't sing or dance this quickly.
But yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, but like I had this, like my vision was me on a giant stage with a huge crowd of people.
Yeah.
That was it though. Nothing else
inherently
out of
terrible
it.
About that.
No, I mean except for it's the fact like, that I can't sing or dance.
Yeah. It's just kind of like lame.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, cool, you win. Now what?
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, anybody that, for anybody listening, like when you look at someone who's famous or what that means is that they've been of massive service to a lot of people for some reason or another.
Right,
through
right.
song, through their, how good, through acting, through, they've given more than they've taken in an area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the more that we can tell people about that, then their dreams can get better and we can just like keep it moving.
Wow.
You know
I mean,
we're big fans. Good.
Andy Grammer.
Oh my goodness.
Like, they don't come better than you.
No.
Like, truly, no. And I, like, and I just want to say, I have stayed tried and true to you from your ups and your downs because of the human that you are. Like, I love your music and that's easy to support, but like, I just am obsessed with like the person that you are.
So sweet.
And I just, I really just will support you until you're like in a wheelchair. Like,
likewise,
touring.
My dear. Likewise.
Andy's album, Naive, and his latest single, Wish You Pain, are available now. So go stream his music, buy his music.
Yeah.
What else?
Follow Andy on Instagram.
Follow me on Instagram. I have a podcast as well that's really fun.
Okay, where can people
it's
find it?
It's called The Good Parts with Andy Grammer. And I like to do questions that are like really deep, interesting questions. So I'll ask both of you a question right now. Okay?
Oh. Then maybe we can come on your podcast
Let's
to
do
answer
it.
It.
I'm super in.
Okay.
Okay, so usually I have a bunch of them that are really good. Like one of them is, what's your most spiritual experience? One of them is, what do you think happens when we die?
I hate that one. Don't ask
do you hate that,
that
one?
One. Yeah.
What's the most spiritual experience that either of you have had? Spirit, it can be whatever you want. It can be any answer. I love that we all have edges of ourselves and that, and it takes a little bit of time to like get comfortable enough with someone to be like, okay, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we may have gotten there in this conversation. So what do you got?
What's the most spiritual experience?
Oh, mine, I will never forget it. I was in Fiji.
Whoa.
And there were, it was like this crystal blue water and there were rocks, like you could walk out pretty far. And I had walked out to rocks and I'm Christian and I had on just like a worship playlist. I'll never forget like looking out and feeling like, oh, like this is God. Like this is it.
Totally.
Yeah. Love it's like it. So vivid in my mind.
Yeah.
I think mine was, I was invited to a, I wasn't Christian. I was like Serbian Orthodox. Well, I mean, I still am technically, but I grew up in a different church and I was like coming to work and I was crying every day. I was like literally one of the lowest lows of like low.
Sure.
And this friend of mine, Jason Kennedy, invited me to this Bible study. And I was like, I've tried everything. I've drank every night. I've been sleeping around. Like I've literally done everything to make me feel better. Nothing's working.
Sure.
So I went to this Bible study and like literally I felt like the pastor there was it was like God was speaking to me through this man. Like it was cool. Everything I needed to hear. It was so crazy. Like that moment right then and there, like mm-hmm. I became a believer. Like my whole world, like it was just like everything just switched.
Cool.
It was really cool.
That's awesome. I love it. I love hearing these moments because they're like pretty vulnerable. I don't know. We're all scared to talk about it for some reason. I'm not sure why.
I still tell every time I see Jason Kennedy, I'm like, you know, you changed my life, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, he doesn't say it like that, but it's like every time I see him, I'm like,
he's like,
really?
You've told me that.
But like, it's like all he did was just invite me somewhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He really didn't do anything out of the, or he was just like, I just invited you to like,
do it.
That was your experience. Like you had that, like, you know?
So cool. Yeah. So
really
cool.
It's really
so
cool.
I ask all my friends that are like musicians and actors and stuff. They come on and we go deeper into this stuff. It makes me so happy. It's exciting.
Well, we're not actors or musicians.
You guys
but
are.
I'd love to.
Your podcast award-winning.
That's right.
Hosts.
But we'd love to come if you'd have us.
100%.
Okay.
Well, thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
We're huge fans
Good
of
stuff.
You. You're
Great
amazing.
Time. Awesome.
So what products have you been eyeing and kind of hoping that would go on sale on Black Friday or possibly Cyber Monday? Did Legacy Box make your short list? Do you have boxes of old videotapes and photos collecting dust in your closet or attic? Have you been wanting to digitize your old photos and videos but haven't known where to start? Well, our past shapes our future. And is your family's legacy digitally preserved so that it can be passed down for generations to come? I mean, mine's not.
Well, I was just, my dad sent me home videos on a DVD player and he spent so much time like transferring it, which I don't even, to be honest, I don't even know how to do that. But it just meant so much to have those videos accessible for me to watch. And I'm going to tell him about Legacy Box because there's so many more videos that aren't even on the one I got that he can just put all in one spot and send it to all of the kids so that we all have it. Because it really is cool to see the memories that, like, there's a lot of videos of me when I was really young that I don't remember.
I know. And then, like, you can have it for, like, your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids. So, like,
yeah, it's really
gift,
cool.
It's really the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. It's a generation, a gift
for many generations
to come.
Yeah, there we go.
That was effortless. With Legacy Box, you can get a lifetime of old family memories, videotapes, photos, and more digitized to a thumb drive, cloud download, or DVD to share and enjoy for generations to come. Basically, well, that was our endorsement line. Plus, the process from start to finish is so easy. You go online and purchase the box that you need. They send you a Legacy Box kit, and you fill them with all your media. So you slap on the prepaid mailing label, and then you just send it right back. Legacy Box takes it from there. In a couple of weeks, you'll get all your originals back, plus perfectly preserved digital copies ready to watch, share, and relive with each other. Legacy Box keeps you informed throughout the process with your regular email updates.
So this Black Friday and Cyber Monday, forget about doorbusters and head to legacybox.com for their best deal of the year. Your life's biggest moments call for some big savings. So you can get 60% off Black Friday and Cyber Monday orders. While everyone is just kind of going nuts trying to get the best deals, you can just relax knowing you saved big on saving your memories. So order your Legacy Box today to take advantage of Legacy Box's Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. For a limited time, take an unprecedented 60%, that's 60% off. Go to legacybox.com/Becca to get 60% off your first order. Save your time and your memories. Go to legacybox.com/Becca and save 60%. Did I say 60%? 60%. Mm-hmm.
Wow. He is amazing.
Right?
I just, what he said about like doing something for your passion and not doing it for the ego, to me, I think that has been a struggle with anything that I struggle in my like work headspace that I get into, is that I'm like, I'm just doing this because I need to do it to make money.
Right.
And like, I have nothing, there's nothing behind it sometimes beyond that. And it's like, people can feel that, or people, you can feel that from someone.
Yeah. It's like, it's interesting what he said, ego dream versus service dream. And it's funny because I look at like my vision boards every year, and it's, there's so much on there that is like, there is a lot of service and a lot of the purpose and what I feel like is my passion in life. But then there are those things. It's like, there's a Grammy award on there. Like, why? Like, that's so, that's all ego. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, that doesn't need to be on
there.
What
about getting in radio? I feel like for you, getting in radio was an ego dream that has kind of morphed into a service dream.
Quite the opposite.
Oh.
I never wanted to be on the air. I was so happy producing.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what's like, God had a bigger plan for me mm-hmm. than that. You know, like I, when I got on the morning show, I was so happy with like my spreadsheets of like, you know what I mean? Like I came in full on fangirl wanting just, I'd loved being a producer. Mm-hmm. And then the way it all turned out is like kind of nuts. But I think the reason why God put me in this position is to be of service. Because I think, and like what Becca's told me so much, she's like, I think that you've been kept single for so long because you kind of are this like beacon of mm-hmm. hope for people, you know, because I think a lot of times when people associate the word single with lonely, and I don't think that's the case.
Right.
So it's really weird because, yeah, I don't, it was not meant to be that way. And it just like happened.
It really hit home. I think all of my dreams have been ego dreams my whole life. And maybe that's why they didn't work out, is because they were ego dreams.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to be a late night talk show host. That was just because I wanted to be on TV. Mm-hmm. Simple. I worry about my kids now because my daughter wants to be a Broadway actress, but I feel like that's an ego reason. I don't think it's a service reason. And what he said about how when you're an artist and you're coming up, you're taking. You're making people come to your shows. You're begging for people's time. Please stop and listen to me for a second. And when it turns around and you start providing them with something, I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah.
When you realize that your music can help people and change people and make them think and make them cry, and, or as an actor, that was really interesting. He's such a fascinating guy.
He's so fascinating.
On top of that, it was kind of a similar thing that was said. I was at a Soul Cycle class, which is basically like a church service sometimes.
Truly.
And he said, your profession isn't what is impressive. It's your passion that's impressive. And I was like, that's so true, because you think about these people who have these super impressive jobs, but it's not that that makes it impressive. It's them and their passion that's behind it. That is what draws you to them.
So true.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Who is it?
Andy.
Oh, Andy. I thought you meant your Soul Cycle instructor.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to David. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of shouting out, there is a girl, her name is Leah, and she's best friends with Alexi Marquina, and she's like a major scrubber, so I wanted to shout her out.
Easton, you have a shout out, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. We learned the other day that, you know, there's not a lot of guys that listen to the show, and that's fine, but there is one, and he's a Major League Baseball player. And
that's amazing.
He's probably the only one, but his name is Jeff. He plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He just got married to his lovely girlfriend Elise, and we wanted to celebrate their marriage, shout them out, and it was Elise's birthday last week, so we want to wish her happy birthday.
Wow.
And her friend KT, I'm sorry, I'm not 100% sure on her first name, but her best friend, maid of honor, reached out to me and is just the coolest friend, and they love the show.
That's so cool. Congratulations on your wedding and happy birthday, Elise. Wow, that's so cool.
Tanya, what is your Gelson story?
Oh, okay. So I wanted to tell you guys this because sometimes I think like, am I a little bit, do I get too attached too soon? Like, am I weird like that? So I'm at Gelson's and I'm buying flowers.
We all look at each other.
So I'm buying flowers and I'm waiting in line, and like I make friends with the girl behind me, like that was getting flowers, you know, they like wrap them for you or whatever. So I'm talking to this girl and she was just like, she's like, can you see like this cold sore on my lip? And I was like, I wouldn't have noticed it, but like now that you pointed out, I can see it. And she's like, oh, like I'm bringing this guy that I'm like newly dating to meet my friends for the first time since I got divorced. And I was like, oh my gosh, how long have you been like divorced? She's like, I've been divorced for 2 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, how long? A total stranger. Yeah, total stranger.
That's hilarious. This is so you though.
But like we were waiting in line to like get our flowers wrapped.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Lots of time. And so I was like, how long have you been dating this guy? And she said, well, this will be our second date. And she's already bringing him to a birthday party to meet her friends. And I was like, you know what? That really just makes me happy because sometimes I feel like I go from like zero to 100 really fast, but it makes me happy to hear other people do the same, you know?
Yes, agreed. Meanwhile, you won't even give this guy a nickname and he's already sleeping over. So it's like, there's
I've come cautious. So far.
You, I guess you have, yeah. But there's something to be said for knowing it when you know it.
Totally.
Amy and I knew right away. Sometimes you just know. And you don't have to play those games.
Right.
It just it feels a little like games. That's not being wary of sharing it on the podcast. I totally understand that. And I don't know what goes on with you two behind the scenes. Uh-huh. I just hope there's no games being played. Like, oh, should I text him back?
That's the other thing. And there's sans games.
Right.
Yeah. It's like very open and transparent, which is actually really nice.
Well, I was going to, they were going to go to the Post Malone show. Tanya and one of her men that she's dating.
The one who's ahead. Yeah.
And I was going to get to see them in action together and meet him, but she got sick and couldn't go.
Mm. I know. I was bummed.
I was really bummed.
That would have been cool.
I was more bummed. Well, I was more bummed than she was.
The question we're debating now is does she bring him to the Seacrest holiday party, which is now, as you're hearing this December 2nd, it's this weekend.
Oh, I can't decide.
Friday is Jingle Ball. Saturday is a holiday party. It's an afternoon party this year, 1 to 5, which is different.
Is that more? Do we feel like that makes it more casual?
I think it does.
Yeah, way more casual.
But also more casual for bringing in a guy. It's not as much pressure.
Right. That's what. I don't know.
Something about to me, it's reversed.
I think something during the day
in the daylight feels like more bringing him into the table.
Well, like I'm already like kind of making arrangements for the day, you know? So I'm like, I need to kind of figure it out.
I think you ask him.
You do?
Yeah, because like what's the like...
Would that scare him off?
I know. I don't want to... Yeah, that's...
It's a good way of gauging his level of interest. Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, maybe it's just better if I like bring Brad or somebody that's like friends with my coworkers and can just kind of, you know what I mean?
I mean, I'd love to see Brad, but right. I'd rather see this person who doesn't have a name.
That's the other thing, because then it's like, then I introduce him to, you know what I mean, Ryan.
Are you going to see him before this weekend? Are you going to see him before the party?
Yes.
Like multiple times, you think?
I don't know, maybe.
I think you just gauge how those things go and then see if...
She makes a point. If he meets Ryan, that means Ryan's going to bring him up on a daily basis from now on.
That's the only thing.
But the year's almost over and then Ryan goes away for a while. Right. So by January, you're going to know one way or the other.
Right. That's kind of where I was like thinking too. I'm like, I can dodge questions for like a week and a half, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's something I'm thinking about.
Yeah. I think it's a...
Because it sucks. Because on one hand, I'm like, it would be so fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. I have a good time with him. He's fun. It's easy. I'd like to. But then it's like, it's also attached to, there's all these other things that it's attached to, you know?
Guy's point of view, if I'm asked that at this stage, although I don't know all the details of the stage you're in, if I'm way into you, I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. If I'm kind of keeping one foot in, one foot out, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be a little fast. I don't know if I want to meet all your friends.
Right.
I don't know.
If I'm staying over and hearing your stomach growl, I'm there.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know, I think that's this is a good point in the trajectory, I think.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. We'll see.
Okay.
TBD. I'm really torn.
Yeah, I actually get it.
Right?
Because not only, it's not like you work in like a law office and you're having a party and then it's like it stays between all your coworkers. Like it's going to be brought up here.
Totally.
I mean, on the radio. Whoa.
I know. But at the on the other side of it, it's like could be super fun.
I think it would be.
Totally.
From what I've heard, it wouldn't be a negative thing at all. The only thing is that Ryan would ask you about it. That's literally the only like.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to think it's too fast. I feel like he's kind of been very.
How long has it been since your first date?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I feel like I might be able to find this.
About a month.
Oh, okay.
A little less than a month.
Oh, that's fairly quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer
is. I know.
I have a question for Easton.
Oh, dear.
Easton and I spent some quality time together at Disneyland the other day.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Yes, we did.
We watched the holiday parade together.
Which one's that?
Well, it's the Christmas one. Santa at the end of it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Easton. Not all of us go to Disneyland every
There's
weekend.
There's only one holiday parade.
Yeah, I've been like twice and I knew what the holiday parade is.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot.
I was mostly excited that you knew there were multiple versions of it, maybe.
Thank you so much.
Which one is that?
So my question for Easton and Allison, and I'm sorry if this is too personal, I apologize, but you two are leaning against having children.
Oh, yes.
Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I was wondering, after spending a half an hour, whatever it was, with my family, did it make you more likely to have kids or less likely to have kids?
We've been talking about this a lot since that.
Oh, interesting.
This is the first time I met Mark's brood in person. I've only seen them on video and on pictures.
Well, you met my wife. She was at your wedding.
I met your wife. Yeah, my daughter's children.
Yeah, you know? Children. I think I met them once that you brought them in here once.
A long time ago.
And we were extremely impressed with them. Extremely impressed. And it did get us talking. And we've decided on this. We would have children if we could send them away until they're like 8. Then they're more than welcome to come back and hang.
Do you know what's so funny? I've said that to my sister multiple times. I'm like, because my niece and my nephew are so like well-behaved children that it has to do with her and my brother-in-law's parenting, right? Like they're just so well-mannered, well-tempered. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I have children, can you raise them in those years where it's really crucial and then I'll take them back?
I would help raise your kids at a young age. I feel like I could do, I love babies. So that's where I feel like I thrive. And then I would give them back around like 5.
I think that'd be tough for a child to be raised by different people depending on their age.
You think?
I think so.
I think we all just send them over to Mark and Amy's and
right.
They...
Yeah. My
well,
God.
The reason I ask is because I saw, because you saw the positive. You know, we were having fun. We were laughing about the stuff Santa always says and telling funny stories about Brooklyn. And we were laughing. But you also saw the negative in the sense that Allie wasn't feeling very good, which kind of dampened the day. Brooklyn was really disappointed because we didn't get to go on Space Mountain. And there's that pressure of making the day perfect for the kids. So I thought you saw both sides of child rearing.
Here's the thing. I was really, because you told me Brooklyn wasn't feeling, or sorry, Allie wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, like. She's not feeling great. And then there's this like freak she's never met before with, I have this mustache right now.
And he's in Lightning McQueen clogs.
Crocs.
They look like clogs.
And I was like, I'm concerned.
By definition, they are clogs.
They look like clogs. And a big white sweatshirt that had a bunch of random Disney stuff written all over it.
I looked very cool and I got a lot of compliments that day, but she was so nice and came up and was like, you guys having fun today? And like, just like talking to us. Aww. And like, I just had a great attitude and Brooklyn was cracking us up. And it was just, they knew the like small world during the holidays is this like holiday loop projection thing where like it turns into like Santa's workshop.
Oh, yeah.
And like they had it, they knew like, okay, every 18 minutes, it's going to start again. Let's see if it's a different one. And I thought that was so funny. And I was so impressed with your kids, and it did jumpstart that conversation again.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's such a huge compliment.
I take that as a big compliment.
Totally.
Thank you, Easton.
Yeah, but it still remains. Those are 7 long years that we're not. Allison and I are very selfish people, self-centered people. And I don't know if we're equipped to you know, that's just so much. You have to put in so much to get to that point where you have these awesome little people that you're down to hang out with.
I think they're awesome at all the different ages.
Yeah?
I think you'd have loved hanging out with my kids when they were 7 and 4. I think you'd have thought them very precious.
It's selfish to not want to have kids.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't. Like, diagnose yourself that.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm just, you know, of course I think I'm the greatest, but I'm just trying to be, I'm just trying to be real.
You would be a good dad. I mean, yeah. I think we're all clear on that.
Imagine a caramel corn princess junior.
Oh my God. With the way things go though, I would have a young man that wants to play sports. And like,
yeah. Like you, Easton gets like the like star athlete.
Yeah.
But like,
he's just going to beat me up all day.
Chris Pratt of the high school. Yeah.
But yeah, it got us thinking.
Cool. Wow.
Good.
That was interesting. A fascinating
question. I have a couple of emails for us, and you like them because they both have the word sans in the subject line.
We also, I would just like to say, I have not watched the Grey's Anatomy finale yet.
Same.
What? No, you told me you did.
No, I didn't.
You told me that
I thought, when you said all caught up, I thought you meant for that big episode. So I'm caught up there, but I haven't watched the finale.
I'm the only one, as usual, that is caught up on Grey's Anatomy.
Easton let me know that there are some people on the iTunes reviews who really bash us that we don't consistently, that we have dropped the ball on watching Grey's.
They make a point. It's kind of the whole theme of the show. It's called scrubbing in.
I know, but it's based on our, like, we love Grey's Anatomy. Like, we will always love Grey's Anatomy and what it means to us.
Yeah.
But
I do have to say to those iTuners, we welcome we welcome your opinion and we're happy to have it. But we used to be a 4.5 star, and I've noticed that we are 5 stars now.
Is that right?
Oh my gosh. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
So turns out some people are liking it better these days. So
I mean, I've also seen reviews of people saying, I'm a medical professional and these women are clearly not doctors. Like, it's like some kind of like doctor podcast or medical school thing. And I'm like, oh,
that's so good. I mean, actually, if they just saw our cover photo, they should know that we are not.
This woman I met at the nail salon the other night, her kids go to school, I think, with Ellen Pompeo's kids or something like that.
What school?
I know. I didn't want to pry.
That's our in, right there.
She subscribed to our podcast, so hopefully she's listening. Hey, I don't want to say her name.
It'd be great if she mentioned the show at like a school event.
Totally. So,
or maybe never heard back from Jesse Williams, by the way.
Oh. All right. Emails next.
Did he read it? Is he seen?
Oh. This might be a heartbreaking
moment. Let's check that out.
Let's tease that. We'll come back and find out if Jesse has read the IM that we sent, and we'll read the emails.
I mean, Mark is so old.
I'm sorry.
Clogs, IMs, what's
they
going on?
They look like clogs, by the
clogs,
way.
Clogs, by definition.
All right, that's next.
When it comes to the holidays, what do most people think of? Food, family, quality time, presents, and boxes? I would say that we all love a good subscription box, right?
Right.
Well, from food boxes to wellness boxes, they're all the rage right now. And KiwiCo subscription makes the perfect holiday gift for every young explorer, engineer, and artist in your life. Empower them to be creative, confident, and fearless in all their endeavors with KiwiCo's innovative projects. So my nephew Knox, his birthday's coming up, and he's really into crafts and arts, and my parents just got him like a little desk so he can do his little art projects, whatever he wants to do. So this is perfect
for his.
I know. I'm
going to
send them for his birthday so that he has things to do and he can have something every month that comes and he can go into his room and work on it.
That's perfect.
KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about STEAM fun. So STEAM is science, technology, engineering, art, and math, and it's designed by experts and tested by kids. So no need to research or worry about gathering all the supplies. They do it for you.
Yep. So get hands-on learning and fun delivered every single month. It's the gift that keeps on surprising. Are you pressed for time? Well, each month the kid in your life receives a new fun and engaging project with all the supplies that they need to challenge themselves creatively. Each box comes with all the supplies needed for that month's project. There's detailed, easy to follow instructions and an educational magazine to learn even more about that crate's specific theme.
And this holiday, give the gift of hands-on learning for tomorrow's makers. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children and the kids in your life to be anything they want to be. There's no commitment. You can cancel at any time, and monthly options start at just $16.95 per month, including shipping. For our listeners, go to kiwico.com/Becca to get your first month for free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to kiwico.com/Becca and get your first month free. That's kiwico.com/Becca. The verdict stands. He did not slip. Okay. Oh man, that was a bust. He didn't read it.
Aww. Okay, well that makes me feel better.
Me too, honestly. Yeah. I feel might delete it. Just never seen.
There are some solid revelations in the finale. I'm not going to spoil anything.
Okay.
Solid. I saw some spoilers and I am like nervous to watch it, to be honest.
It's great. I'll just say it's great to have Meredith back in the Scrubs walking around that house, but like she owns the place. It's great. It's
where
great.
She belongs.
All right, Jackie, titled Sons in the City. I met a guy 2 months ago at my best friend's sister's wedding. My best friend's sister, her wedding. He is their family friend's son. Seems like a great guy. My best friend's family can't say enough good things about him. Says that we would be great together. We've been talking literally every single day since via text, and I'm starting to think the same thing. We connect on so many things and have great conversations. He seems perfect except for one thing. He lives in New York. I live in California. He has said he doesn't want to stay in the city forever. Our families are both in the Midwest. My question is, should I even be entertaining the idea of a relationship with someone who literally lives on the other side of the country? I'm going to see my friend in New York next month and plan on seeing him as well. The idea of long distance doesn't scare me, but I tend to be a hopeless romantic. Am I being crazy thinking something like this could work? Tanya, you've been in this exact situation.
I mean, this is a major yes for me.
It's not for me.
I think my thing is, if one of them said like, oh, I could see myself within the year of us, like I could see myself living there, or she could say, like she says, she could see herself living there. I mean, we have friends who have literally dated from LA to New York, and he just moved here in like April or something, and it works. And I totally believe it, but I think there has to be some sort of future plan to live in the same city, otherwise.
Yeah, I just don't think, don't write it off just because he lives in New York right now.
True.
Because like, I think there's so much, like, I think you need to go through it in stages. So get to know him, because guess what? You might start getting to know him and think like, oh, well, I don't want to date him because of this, you know, not because he lives in New York. So it's like, I think just keep going, keep it moving. Keep it moving, sister.
I think you're right. Long distance relationships work if there's a plan in place or a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think they're tough.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be long distance forever. That sounds horrible.
No, but you also don't want to make somebody, like, I don't think giving it a deadline
is helpful.
No, not
an ultimatum.
I don't think a deadline, but just saying, like, hey, could you see yourself living here, or can I see myself living there?
Yeah.
Could you do your job in other cities, that sort of thing?
Because if both of them are like, no, I don't want to leave where I live, then...
Right, and that's kind of what happened to me a few years ago. I like kind of liked somebody that lived in New York, and it wasn't, he never wanted to move to LA, I was never going to move to New York, so it was kind of like, okay...
But they always come back.
The moot point.
They always come on back.
This is from Anonymous, the subject line, choosing to remain sons. I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year now, and although he believes in God, he does not have a relationship with him. Lead me spiritually, nor does he encourage us to go to church. I love him, and I know that if I marry him, I will have a good life. But part of me feels like I'm missing out on having that bond and partnership in faith, and I worry about how that might affect how we raise our children in the future. Am I settling, or am I just being a commitment freak?
This is so hard.
Hitting home with someone here.
Okay, well, please.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I don't... It's...
What advice would you give her taking yourself out of the equation? That's interesting.
It's hard, though, because I'm in a similar situation.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
need advice.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, what would you tell somebody if you weren't in it, like yourself? Because that might help you.
Well, in the past, I would say...
Keep it moving?
Not keep it moving, but just like really think about what you compromise on someone with. You know, like where you're able to say, we have our differences. I think like a relationship with God is like the most important thing to me. And would it be ideal to share that with someone? I think yes. I think that would be easy, but... I think it just depends on how much you want that or need that in your life. But it's hard. I don't know if it's not a, I don't think it's black and white at all. And I used to think it was black and white. It's very much gray to me.
I think that there's different like levels. If that, I used to think that I wanted somebody that was like knee deep in their faith and like could lead me and like was like my leader in faith. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe I could be the, I don't want to say the bridge to somebody, but like, I think having somebody that's open to it, mm-hmm. to coming to church and being open to that and having a relationship. I just, what I think makes me fearful is if that person starts taking away from your relationship with God. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Or
if they start like not wanting you to go to church on Sunday, like uh-huh. if you go to church on Sundays and that's your thing and they maybe want to come with you, maybe they come with you sometimes and don't come with you, like that's totally fine. But I think when they start taking away from your relationship with God, that's when I think it gets to be dangerous.
And I think a lot of people, like I think I've talked about this before and how like my perspective on it has changed. And a lot of people send me messages and they're like, but the Bible says like you should be equally yoked, whatever. And I get that. Like, I know I've heard forever what the Bible says about that. But I think until you're in something, you can't like, it's so easy to like cast your opinion on something when you haven't experienced it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my perspective has totally changed on it in a way that I used to be like, it's black and white. Like if that's what you want, then you need to be with someone who believes the same thing. But I think my perspective has changed a lot and kind of grown softer to the fact that we're all different and a lot of us are raised differently and a lot of us have had different experiences and we're not all the same in how we think.
I think and what I like tell you is I'm like, if you flash forward 5 years or 10 years, is it important to you to like go to church with your family every Sunday?
Yeah. Well, I guess my thing is that I currently am like going through not having a church. So
right.
That's
but
not,
I mean, right.
I know, but like in an ideal world, yeah, you do think about that stuff. And like when you're in a situation, it's like, let's pray about this together. You know, there are certain things where you do, if that's important to you, it would be a ideal situation to have someone to do that with. But what's her name? Anonymous.
Yep.
But it's interesting because I do think that
I like wrote this email.
I think you can have that relationship with different people in your life, you know, because it's like I have some friends that are very faith filled. And like if I'm going through something and I need prayer, like I literally can call Raquel and she'll pray for me over the phone.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
So I it's have like those friends too.
I don't necessarily need my partner to constantly be that for me, mm-hmm. but I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I think that you decide if it's something that it's always going to be like in your mind holding you back in a way, I guess you decide if it's where you stand on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't feel like I've given great advice because I think I'm in this, you know, I've been in this situation and I like know these feelings. So it's hard to give advice when you're kind of like, I don't really know.
Yeah. I think I gave some good advice.
I think it was good. I think compromise is always going to be a part of any relationship. And if you think this is such a great guy, I think you can find that.
Yeah.
Compromise.
Yeah.
But just don't lose it, is what I'm saying.
I think you stay strong in your faith and what you believe in, and you don't expect him to change. And if he finds that to be the path that he wants to go down and he joins you in that, and that's okay with you, that he might find it later and he might not, then I think you stay there. If you're thinking he's going to change for me or he's going to have a relationship with God, then I think you're setting yourself up to be disappointed, mm-hmm. or have expectations that aren't fair on him.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice. And this has been a long podcast, but we were off a week. So that's great. It's right. Like supersized.
Yeah. Supersized.
Yeah. Next week, more fun stuff.
So much fun.
So much fun.
Oh, yeah. Next week will be after the holiday party. So you will know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exciting.
It's exciting.
All right. Time of death, 1335.